Namaste! Welcome to the Yogi Movement All Is Coming podcast. This is a podcast about finding clarity, balance, and deep purpose through the practice of yoga and meditation. I'm Monica Stone, and I'm a yoga teacher and mentor. I teach classes locally in Orlando, Florida, but I am also a virtual yoga teacher at theyogimovement.com, and that's yogi with an I. I help people who are driven and motivated, but overwhelmed, like entrepreneurs or successful business leaders. I teach simple yoga practices to end the mind clutter so that you can move forward on your path with clarity and confidence, even if it's just 5 minutes a day. This is a community that believes anything is possible. You just have to be willing to practice with total devotion and do the work, and all is coming. So let's get started. Namaste. Hello there, namaste. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast, the Yogi Movement podcast, All Is Coming. I'm so glad you're here. It's Thursday in my world, and I'm excited because tomorrow's Friday, and even though since I'm an entrepreneur, my weeks and everything is totally scattered, and sometimes I work on the weekend, sometimes I work at night, sometimes I work in the morning, trying to get on a consistent schedule, but it's not always easy. But even so, I still look forward to the weekend and still get excited about Friday. So, happy Friday. Awesome. So, all right. So today, I want to talk about how to stop comparing yourself. That seems to be a big thing I hear from my students is that they don't like to go to the yoga studio or they get intimidated by yoga because just of seeing those selfies where people are constantly putting their legs behind their head and look all flexible and, you know, skinny and beautiful and, you know, all that stuff. And I hear that people just don't like to go because they feel like they're not flexible enough or they're out of shape. And not even just about the yoga studio, but a lot of people are just kind of intimidated to just hop on the mat and try it because they feel that way. And there's a lot of opinions out there about the yoga selfie and people taking those pictures, probably because of this stuff. But I do want to say that I don't have any problems with the selfies, and I think that if somebody has issues with comparing themselves and looking at other people and thinking that they're not enough, it probably doesn't have to do so much with the selfie. It has to do with something internally that's going on that needs to be worked out, and it would happen in another instance if it wasn't for yoga, right? So I personally wanted to just say, like, I run Instagram challenges where encourage people to take yoga selfies, and I enjoy them. I do think that there is value in posting transparency, like showing, you know, if you can't do a headstand or a handstand, to not make everything so about being beautiful and perfect on the outside, but also to show, like, this is where I am today. It's not perfect, but one day I'm going to get there. And one thing I love are the selfies where people kind of show, like, look, I can do a headstand, but this is where I was 3 years ago, and they show a video of them like falling over. I think that can be really inspiring. But on the other hand, I think it's also okay to post, like, let's say you just are really great at a posture and it looks beautiful and you want to post it. I think that's okay too. It's just like anything in the world that you do. Like, if you were a cook, you would post pictures of your food probably looking beautiful. You'd probably even dress it up. I'm sure there's even a protocol to that of, like, a white background kind of plate it should be, how you should garnish it. And you probably dress it up a little bit and make it look perfect and then take a picture. So, of course, people are going to do that with their yoga postures too. It's just something that we have to accept, and it's okay. And if we can detach from the fact that the yoga posture is not the actual practice of yoga, it's kind of different. It's an image, just a picture. So yoga posture is just kind of like showing something that you're doing for fun and showing what it is that you can do, maybe a skill, but it's not the practice of yoga. It's an expression of yoga, but it's not equal to the, like, how you are as a yogini or yogi, you know, like how good or bad you are. It's just a picture, a physical picture, right? So if we can detach from that, then there's nothing wrong with the yoga selfie. It's just a picture. All right, so this whole podcast is about how to stop comparing yourself to other people. And because even though we know this stuff, even though we know, like, that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other people, and we know that these pictures are set up and that you don't have to be perfect to practice yoga or, you know, look like these pictures that we see to practice yoga. Even though we know that, it's still hard to break the comparing habit. It's still hard to just be like, well, I'm going to just go in there and to the studio and not compare myself, or, you know, it's just, you know, it's a mindset shift. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while. And sometimes what's cool is a mindset shift feels like it happens overnight, but it really doesn't. It takes a lot of working to realize what's going on in your mind and knowing that you need to change it, and then trying to like set habits and patterns into place. And when you hear yourself talking negatively, like, I'm not perfect enough, or I'm not flexible enough, knowing that you need to change that to a different mantra, like, I am enough, I can do anything, you know, and stuff like that, you know, changing the mantra, changing the negative thought pattern. It takes a lot of doing that. And then one day it does just click, to be honest. Like, that's how all of my mindset shift changes have happened. It's been like kind of just a snap of the fingers, but it takes lots of awareness and mind work. So it's not like it just happens overnight. And so I want to just give you some tactics to put into place that have kind of helped me, all right? So comparing is totally normal. We do it. We're grown up to, you know, when we're younger, we grow up to think that there's this hierarchy system that we have to do this, take one step here, be more successful here, do this. You know, you can think of it in terms of a job, getting promotions, you know, from like entry level to a coordinator, then to a specialist, then to a supervisor or a manager, then supervisor, then, you know, maybe like a vice president, and then a president, and then a CEO, and, you know, all that stuff. And so it's not that one thing is better than the other. We are just grown up in a society where we put these hierarchy systems on things. And so we think that with everything, that if you're better at a posture, then you must be better at yoga. And that's not the case at all. And I have to even say that's not at the case with anything. We've given ourselves and grown up to believe that there's this hierarchy system. You can even say that's a samskara or an impression or conditioned belief. But to be honest, nobody is more important than another person, regardless of your hierarchy, regardless of your title, regardless of how much you get paid. Nobody's more important than another person in a business, because you have to have every single part moving. So, for example, the person that might, you know, we might consider to have the lowest title with like the lowest pay, we probably couldn't run whatever business it is. It probably couldn't run without that person. I bet they do some of the most important parts of the job, but it's probably just tedious. So I just want to give an example. In my last job, the person who did a lot of the data entry and, you know, cold calling and stuff like that wasn't paid a lot of the money. They kind of got paid hourly. They didn't get a lot of benefits. They were on some sort of like, you couldn't work, maybe they were considered part-time, but they pretty much worked full-time. And their job was tedious. It was hard. And it was extremely important to the company in order to get the clients into the database and to research the statistics of how people were hearing about us. And they didn't get any of, I just thought it was awful. They didn't get any of the perks. Like, all the people who got paid lots of the money that had like the director or whatever title got like these fancy dinners out and all this stuff. But like the people who were doing like the actual hard work, and not that those other people weren't, but these other people, I just don't think they were any less important. I think they should have gotten fancy dinners out too. I guess that's my point, is that no one person, just depending on your title and depending on how much you get paid, is more important than the other. And it's the same thing with yoga. It's not like yoga's not different. So you doing a better posture, being more advanced in the practice does not make you better at yoga or a better yogini, right? And so I just want to kind of give you a quick example of how that can work in yoga. So let's say you have yogini number one, and yogini number one is like, shows up to the mat every single day and can, you know, wobbles on her balancing postures every single day, kind of falls down, but maybe laughs about it. Can't like barely like touch her toes. Feels like the Tin Man when she twists, and she's been coming to the mat every day for like 3 years, And she's made a little bit of progress in the postures, because that's just what happens when you come to yoga. You start to open up. It's just a side effect, and it's a bonus of doing the postures to start to open up and get better. But in general, this person is just kind of has a tight and stiff body, and it's working to open. But what happens over time is that she comes to the mat no matter what, because she realizes how good it makes her feel. And she's starting to be more successful just in her life, in her own heart, because she has more consistency, more discipline, and more patience. She's learned to accept things a lot more, because she's accepted herself a lot more, knowing that, like, maybe her body is never going to be able to bind in some sort of pretzel posture where she gets her legs behind her head, or but she's developed the patience and cultivated the patience and has learned to take things step by step. Learns that, like, these small steps were, you know, equal big changes. So she's been working on these postures forever, and then maybe one day she is able to do something in it, or realizes something about her inner body, like a shoulder that needs to open or just move a little differently in order to work on this posture better. And so the concentration and the meditation muscle is growing, the, you know, just developing the patience and the discipline and, you know, the compassion and the acceptance of seeing all this stuff happen to her is helping her develop that and bring it into the outside world. So the stuff that she's learning on the mat, the tools she's learning on the mat, she's able to bring into the outside world. So by developing these skills of patience and concentration, when there's difficult situations that come up to her, she's able to kind of move into her breath and use those skills off of the mat to be less reactive. You know, if you're somebody who writes impulsive emails, like, I definitely work off of an emotion. I'm an emotional person. So it's, you know, I'm somebody who wants to reply to an email right away or will get offended right away if I don't pull back a little bit and then stop and be like, wait, this person didn't mean any bad intention. Maybe I shouldn't send this email. You know, I kind of attribute yoga to me learning my own mind and my own emotional impulsive responses are probably not the best, and I need to pull back first before I do those things, because I do react emotionally first. And so that's an example of yogini number one. So she basically is not amazing at yoga postures, like what we see and consider to be amazing, you know, as far as like yoga selfies go and stuff like that. But she's great at, she uses the skills of yoga, and she's committed to the practice of yoga. So being good at yoga postures doesn't necessarily mean you're good at yoga, right? So then let's take another yogini, for example, that comes in, and she only comes to the mat, like, maybe she just comes to the studio, like, twice a month, right? And she's, like, perfect at these postures. Like, she can, like, move gracefully through them and, you know, put her leg behind her head and stand up with her leg behind her head, and she just looks like amazing and she looks peaceful. But that doesn't always mean that she is, because she's not able to come to the mat every day. She can, you know, she's open and flexible, but that's not an expression. That's not a reflection of your life, you know? The reflection is the fact that she can't make it every day and that she's scattered and she's, you know, so in her life, her desk is all scattered. She doesn't have anything organized. Her friends don't really count on her because she's late to all of the events. She makes commitments and doesn't follow through, you know? So, but she wants to get her life together. That doesn't make her a bad yogini. And that's what I want to also mention too, is that there's no good or bad. Sometimes people take a little while to develop and cultivate the discipline. And her goal is to show up to the mat, perhaps, and to get more consistency in her life, because she knows yoga is good for her, but it's just taking her a while to develop that. But my point is that you can be open and flexible and have a beautiful practice, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are using yoga in your life. So just thinking about that for a second, and thinking about where and how you've been using your yoga practice and how you've been comparing yourself to other people. And a lot of the stuff that we're working on in yoga is not something that we can actually see. And that's why you shouldn't really look around and compare yourself and look at other people's practices. Because the yoga practice, the physical practice that we see other people do isn't really what's going on internally in their life. That's something that only they know and that only they can work on and that only you know and only you can work on, right? So that's one thing to think about, is how you're using the yoga practice. And if your purpose is to get better at postures, then that's kind of missing the whole point in yoga. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't practice. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go do that, because that might be part of your journey. Your journey might be to get to a point where you're heavily comparing yourself so much and working so much on these postures that you just have to one day hit rock bottom and surrender and realize that that's not what it's about at all. And so that's okay too. And so I guess just knowing that that's part of the journey, is that you're going to be doing things that aren't in line with the yoga practice, but that it's on your path and you're right where you're supposed to be, and it's going to lead you to where you're supposed to go. As long as you're listening, you need to listen, right? You need to really listen and follow the path. Another thing I want to say is that we want to start everything with a beginner's mind. So this is another way that you can kind of work on stop comparing yourself to other people. As if you go into yoga practice, going into it knowing that you are a beginner all of the time, no matter how advanced you are in your practice, you're going into it with a beginner's mind, thinking that this isn't about mastering a posture. This isn't about, you know, because what is mastering a posture? We're really just making shapes. And to be honest, like if I take, you know, a posture like Mari Chiasana D, which is where, you know, I'd be in half lotus and do a deep twist and bind my hand around. It's kind of like picturing a pretzel. It's the first posture that I would in Ashtanga Yoga that I look at and I think pretzel. If I take a posture like that, and when I first started it, I had tons of trouble with it. It took me months in years to even be able to do that posture. And all I was really trying to do was get into it, you know, just try to like twist in myself into it, even if I could barely breathe. Eventually I was able to do it, and then I was able to open up a little more. And now my work in that posture is all about getting my half lotus leg down to the ground. I put a picture of this in the blog post if you wanted to go to my website, podcast number 4. And you'll find this podcast and you can see the picture of Mari Chiasana D. So in Mari Chiasana D, like now my goal is to kind of, now that I can do the bind in it, to open up a little more and open my heart and twist a little deeper while I can still breathe and open up my lotus posture a little more. And so really, I don't think there's any full mastery of a posture, because as you do it more and you become more open and you learn different aspects, you learn to become more aware inside of your body a little more of what's going on, and different parts of it start to open up and you start to become, you can go deeper in it in different ways. So your intention when you first start it is way different than your intention 6 months later. And then let's say I do get my lotus leg down to the ground and open it up to where I'm happy, I'm sure there's going to be another aspect that I become aware of where I can even make it even more open and deeper and better for myself, and so that I can breathe easier. So always going into everything with the beginner's mind and knowing that it's all relative too. So like there's always something that somebody's working on that somebody can't do. So let's say you have the most advanced yoga practitioner, like not like just a really advanced yoga practitioner that seems like she can just do everything and is superpower, right? There's something that she can't do. There's something that she's working on just as much as you are in your practice, wherever you are. So it's not like it's any different for that other person. And the last thing I want to talk about is the third thing that you can think of, is that you don't want to be the most successful person in the room. And this is where it really clicked for me, is when I started studying business and entrepreneurship, is that I learned that you want to be around successful people. You want to be around people who have like made it, that you can be inspired from and that you can really learn from and that you can grow from as well. So if you can think that the people that you're in the room with, the people that you're kind of jealous of or that you're comparing yourself to, that you actually want to be around those people so that you can feed off their energy and be inspired by them, that that's kind of how it's supposed to be, then, and that you don't want to be the best person in the room so that you can always learn from other people, then that might help take the pressure off. And that's what worked for me, is that I realized, like, just like in business, when I work with, you know, my mastermind groups, like, I want to be around people who I can inspire. So people who are kind of starting under me, and people who have been, are way above me too, that are like maybe making millions or maybe, you know, six figures, that I can be inspired by, so I can eventually get to that place and learn from them. So thinking of it that way too. And so I wanted to just mention, you know, kind of start to close off with a Stephen Covey quote. And Stephen Covey wrote Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So he says, dependent people need others to get what they want. Independent people can get what they want through their own effort. Interdependent people combine their own efforts with the efforts of others to achieve their greatest success. So think about that. If you can combine your own practice and what you're doing while learning from somebody else's practice and experience, if you're going to be looking around and comparing yourself anyway, if when you do that, you can actually learn from those people, you'll achieve your greatest success. And I don't mean that in the yoga posture. I mean that, you know, it could be within a yoga posture, but I mean that in your life. If you can learn from those people and what they're doing and how they're doing it, then I think that is kind of what you're going for. So if you would like, go ahead and, or I would actually like you to go ahead and hop on over to my blog. So if you went over to my blog, theyogimovement.com, and on my site, you would just click on podcast and go to podcast number 4 and join in the discussion there. I'd love to hear if you have ever compared yourself to people, if that's one of your issues and how you got through it, or if you don't, like, what is the advice that you give to other people? You know, what's your advice with that stuff? And if you like this, if you would go onto iTunes and go ahead and rate it and review it, that would really help. It would help people find the podcast so that they could learn about how to use yoga in their life too. And one last thing, I just released the Yoga Freedom Project. So it's a free 14-day yoga challenge where I give you a free guided meditation download, a journal download, and a free, I think it's about 15 to 20 minute yoga practice that you can do. It's all audio. But basically, it's a 14-day challenge, and along with the journal and the yoga practice and the meditation, you also get 14 days of activities and action items to help you find purpose, let go of limiting beliefs, and become balanced in your life to end overwhelm. So you can find that on my website too, theyogimovement.com. You just scroll down and it's one of the first boxes on there, the Yoga Freedom Project. And you click on there and you just enter your email and you can start to be enrolled and join in the Facebook group and help support each other. So I'd love to see you over there and, you know, just in other areas and help grow the family. So thank you so much for listening. I think that you're an amazing human being. You're a beautiful person, and I am here for you, whatever you need. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you so much for listening. If you think this podcast could help someone, please share with a friend. You can share over Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, and you can find me at theyogimovement.com. Check out my website at theyogimovement.com to see my writings and sign up for any online courses, or join the email list for up-to-date and exclusive yoga info. And one last thing, please rate or review on iTunes. This helps other people find this podcast easier so that they can enjoy yoga in their life too. Thank you so much for listening. Look forward to next time. Namaste.